نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الحمد لله الوالي الكريم، وصلى الله على أنبياء أجمعين، والمسيح والمحسي والمجدد لمن مرسلين. أما بعد، are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it, and that He is alone and has no part, and that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universe. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend, and send salutations of Allah on all of His prophets and His apostles, and on the Messiah, the anointed one, and on the Mahdi, the guide, and on the Mujaddid, the reformer, which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
The man of the hour, airing 7 days a week at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WGAG Radio.
That's right. Great. Paul was trying to clear the word Christian. Right? Acts, what does it say?
A Greek one.
Just Paul, almost now persuaded to be a Christian.
See, Paul is the one who persuades people to be Christians. That's in Acts 26, 28. Paul converts people to Christianity. Read that part again.
Almost thou persuaded me to be a Christian.
You took on Ethiopia. I just want to see what that is. The grandson of Herod the Great. Look at that. Paul was trying to convert the grandson of Herod the Great to become a Christian. Paul is the one who calls us Christians. Paul is the one who established the word Christian. No one did it come from the Sanskrit Krishna. Jesus did never call himself a Christian. Let's look at the next time it pops up. 1 Peter 4:16. Go ahead.
Yet if any man suffer a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Let him glorify God for this man.
Next place you find the word Christian is in Acts chapter 11, verse 26. And when he found him, he brought him unto Antioch, that's Syria. Right? And it came to pass that the whole year they assembled themselves with the church. Now you got church in there, and that's synagogue. You got that? And taught much people. Go ahead.
And the disciples were taught Christians first in Antioch.
Now watch this here closely, because this is important. They assembled with a church before they were called Christians. So whatever religion was in Antioch, those people called their building structures churches. And later, the people that assembled with them picked up the term Christian. If you read around that, you'll find that's all in there. And Jesus said they'll be casting you out of the synagogue. You need that. You see that? At Psalm 74:8, they got together to destroy the synagogues. And they took us out of the synagogues, Christ said, and put us in churches. It's going to be difficult for me to convince the Negro that he is not the Goyim or the Gentile, but that in fact he is the Lord's seed, the house of Israel, the Lord's house of Israel, Judah, and that they took us out of synagogue and put us in the word church assembly. They took us away from the word tribe of Judah and make us call ourselves Christians like they did in Antioch. They took us away from obeying the laws and commandments as the Lord was given to Moses and try to give us new ways from expecting the Messiah, right? But they took it, say John chapter 1, verse 41, and took it, changed it, or interpreted it from Messiah to Christ so we won't feel bad calling ourselves Christians as opposed to Messiahs or Messiah's followers. You understand? In John chapter 1, verse 41, they maliciously tell you, you find this own brother Simon and said unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted to Christ. So now you're using interpretation when you could be calling on him by the Messiah. You follow that? They've done that purposely. And this is why we have been held back so long. But we don't know we're heirs to God's kingdom. We don't know that we are the Lord's sheep of the house of Israel, the tribe of Judah, the holy seed. And Jesus said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The Bible says a name is more precious than pearls. Yet men will have you call God out of the name. You don't feel bad using the German word good, because you're afraid to venture down the path of learning your ancient language again. Start with the children. And let the children start having Hebrew classes in their churches. And start changing the church. You can leave the word church up there. Just let the children know that they're in a synagogue. Let them know the laws of the scripture pertain to them. Let them know the dietary laws pertain to them. You follow? Let them know the sacraments are theirs. And then our Shabbat is on Saturday. Not that we worship the sun, like the Babylonians, or the Greeks, or the Romans, or the Egyptians, and have you on worshiping on Sunday. Sunday is a day to assemble, but the Shabbat, these are our laws. If you say you follow Jesus, then you follow the laws of Jesus. Then you go through the scriptures and find out, did Jesus keep the Shabbat? Yes. You think he did it on Sunday? No. Did Jesus eat pork? No. Did Jesus keep Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah? Yes. Did Jesus have a Bereth Milah circumcision? Yes. So how are you saying that Jesus makes the statement, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to follow but by me, but then you don't follow his way. If he is the way, then he is the way we should do things. He is the way we should eat. He is the way we should pray. He is the way we should speak. He is the way we should adhere to the laws. He says, St. John chapter 1, verse 17, the law came from Moses. But grace and truth come from Jesus Christ. But the problem happens is, everything I said after Moses or Moshe becomes grace, truth, Jesus Christ. It's all Gentile language, all Greek. And the Bible tells you the first Gentile is right in your Bible. So they're the first ethnos. So they're the first what? Psalms chapter 2, verse 1. They're the first heathen. You looked up there, heathen, you get Goyim again, Gentile. And these heathens or Goyim, like Paul, imagine a vain thing. They imagine themselves as a part of the seed of Israel when they're not. And Jesus said, I know y'all who are dressing like Jews, who are praying like Jews, who are holding the offices of Jews, calling yourselves Pharisees and Sanhedrin. I know who y'all are. Y'all are mixed. Y'all are guilty of the venom of the devil is in your blood. You are mixed with Romans, with Edomites. You're mixed with Canaanites. You're not us. That's why he said, I know the blasphemy of those who call themselves Jews that are not. He called it blasphemy. He called them the synagogues of Satan. He told you, but in the latter days, I will make them bow down to you just to show you that I love you. Mm-hmm. When you put back on your God, Isaiah 52, turn to Isaiah 52, and let's get the instructions of God. Awake, awake, quiet, right? Put on thy strength, O Zion. Zion means the new Jerusalem, mm-hmm. or the new Judahites coming. Mm-hmm. The children of Zion. It's Zion. Right? What does it say? Put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful gospel, the dress of the priesthood in the books of the scriptures. Go ahead. O Jerusalem, go ahead. Holy city. But henceforth, from a certain point on, no more heathens or Gentiles, uncircumcised shall come into you. And the unclean. Those people who eat unclean things, Leviticus chapter 7, verse 11, who violate the dietary law and have defiled themselves and become the filth or the beast because they eat like beasts. according to the Talmud.
Go ahead and talk to me.
Get the dirt off you. Come on out the grave. Wake up, mommy. Get up out the grave, old Jerusalem. Take off that slavery chain around your neck and your grave. Oh, captive of Zion. Now take you back to Genesis chapter 15, where it speaks about your bondage. The bondage of the Lord, sheep of the house of Israel, the tribe of Judah, under the Amorites, not under the Midianites or Egyptians. Your bondage, 400 years. The previous bondage of our brothers was 430 years in Egypt. Talk to me. Go ahead, read on.
For thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourselves to the house.
Stop. You know why I said sold yourselves? Because it was Arab Negro converts that was in Zanzibar. That's why in Arabic, the word for nigger is Zinji. Zinji means a person of Zanzibar. It tells you right there. Those Arab niggers converted to a white version of Islam are the ones that sold you. It was those devils who brought you. But you know who sold you? Look it up. I put it in the book. I showed you their faces. Two most prominent slave traders were black Arabs. And right today, right now, in the year 2002, niggers in Sudan are selling niggers. There ain't nothing new, y'all. Come on, let's go back to verse 3.
By the Lord, ye have sold
yourself
for naught, and ye shall be redeemed
without money. That's right. You can't buy your way into freedom, nigger. Mm-hmm. Stop trying to get jobs out there working for white folks, thinking that you get a good job working with a white man, that you are liberated, that you are free because you can socialize with him, but you can hang out with him and go to his party. And act like him and dress like him and walk like him and talk like him and eat like him and act a fool, as the Bible says. Nigga, stop fooling yourself. You cannot buy your freedom. You got to be redeemed. When you look up the word redeemed, you come back to that same word reclaimed, like a pawn ticket. You understand? Where we at? Let's dance. Four.
For thus saith the Lord God,
Yahweh Elohim,
my people is now 4 times in Egypt to the
Lord's head,
and
in
the Syrian oppression of our
home. You see that?
I don't know,
he said, another time we went down into Egypt, my people, and we were oppressed by the Assyrians. Why they say the Assyrians? Because the Assyrians, right, were mixed in our ancient brothers. The Phoenicians mixed in with the Canaanites. The Mesopotamians mixed in with the Canaanites. The Sumerians mixed in with the Canaanites. The Chaldeans mixed in with the Canaanites. The children of Israel mixed in with the Canaanites. The Canaanites are the seed of the serpent, the devil. And he mixes his seed by injecting himself into your bloodline. It's like a snake that bites you. It's the same thing you do when you get a hickey from a cannon. When you allow them to insert themselves into you and spit their venom into your bloodline and breathe poisonous genes. Black devils. Because they have so much of devil's venom in them that they work on behalf of white folks against their own kind. The original people of Assyria or Ashur were Negroes like everybody in Noah's family and queer Noah. You don't have no birth record of Caucasian. They can't even tell you their birth record. They can't tell you where they came from. They take you back to wolves and gnomes and leprechauns and mythological creatures from the sky called the Olympians. But they cannot give you a record. So they give you a record, they go back to the Neanderthal caves of Europe where they're walking around on all fours and eating flesh raw and even eating each other. And they still accountable to this day. Every year, at least one Caucasian is caught eating somebody. You follow? That's the devil seed. Mixing in with the devil. Nigga, you can't liberate yourself by getting in with the devil. It means you're walking around in a zombie state. You're in a sleep state. You're under the spell of Leviathan. What is Leviathan? In the Bible, Leviathan is a dragon. A big sea creature. That old dragon called the devil or Satan that deceived the whole world. And the Edomites or Orientals are in with the Brotherhood of Satan. They're all the same family. You have to separate the sheep from the goat, Christ said. You have to separate the ones who are in the image of God. What do I mean by that? Then in Daniel 9, when they speak of the Ancient of Days, they give you a description, and they said, hair like wool and white as snow. Now, Muslims and a lot of other theologians will say that Melchizedek. They don't have any proof of that. They just say the Ancient of Days would have to be the Alpha, the first. You understand? And the only other person that refers to himself as an Alpha and Omega is Jesus. Why? Because Jesus became known as the visible image of the invisible God. When you see me, he said, you see the Father. So now, in Daniel, the Ancient of Days would be symbolic of them to Christians and Jews as God, sitting on his throne. Anybody got that? Come on the screen. Go ahead. I behold, till thrones were cast down, that means all other authority, all other power was cast down. Go ahead. And the Ancient of Days, the oldest one, the Alpha, the Aleph, go ahead, did sit, whose garments were, that's why Isaiah 52:30, put back on your beautiful garments. Go ahead. And the hair of his head, not the fur of his head. I'm saying that because dogs and lions and gorillas and other creatures have fur. They may tell you it's hair because they control the media, but it's fur. Like a fur coat. Go ahead.
And it glows as burning fire.
And that takes you back to Ezekiel, when it talks about these gods coming from heaven with the wheels of Ezekiel, wheels within wheels. You understand? They're describing what they call gods. Then when you go to Revelation, chapter 1, verses 14 to 15, you're going to get Jesus' description. Yeah? And Jesus, the description is going to be the same as his Father, the Ancient of Days. You ready? It says, his head and his hair were white like wool. Right? As white as snow. Some Christian theologians say that means it was bright, illustrious, and glowing. No, because it's out there for the transfiguration, and it gives you the word for his body was bitter and glue. That's not what it means. If he was crucified between 32 and 33, his hair wouldn't be white as snow. Unless you want to say it to be 120, and we can talk about that. But you don't want to go there, so let's leave it where you stay, wherever your knowledge takes you. You follow? And his eyes were like flames of fire. Sound like that same throne. And his feet like fine grass, smooth, clean, no blemishes in his skin. You follow? Go ahead.
As if it burned in a furnace,
and the voice was the sound of many waters. Jesus was in the image of his Father. Daniel is describing the Ancient One, the Alpha and the Omega. And Jesus is described in Revelation, the Alpha and Omega. But also God is describing someone you can see of the invisible God, the one who was once invisible, who took on form. Word became flesh. Where? What do you got there? Lamentations 5:10. Read it. It says, our skin was black, light, and oven because of a terrible famine. But the word oven there and the word furnace there is the same word. So it's telling you his skin was black, as if they was burnt in an oven. Abishek in Songs of Solomon, while having to confront with the prejudiced mixed blood Israelites, because the Israelites had mixed in with the Canaanites and became like us, mixed blood. And we started looking at dark-skinned people like this sister here as less than us. Started looking for light-skinned people as better than us. You understand? Well, back in Israel, because of David marrying a Hittite, a Canaanite woman, and corrupting his seed, Songs of Solomon, chapter 1, a woman has to stand up to the children of the women in Jerusalem, a woman of the tribe of Judah, of the black seed to Adonijah, who kept themselves pure and black. And she had to tell them what in Songs of Solomon? I am black, but beautiful, comely. I'm black, sisters, but I'm beautiful and black. Oh, you daughters of, oh, you curtains of, all you women that hide behind Solomon's curtains in his bedroom, all you mulattoes laid up in there, he stepped in and said, I'm black and beautiful, y'all. Like the taste of Kedar. I kept my seed as pure as Kedar. And you look up the word Kedar in the Bible and you get black skin. So don't look upon me as if I'm not beautiful, because I'm beautiful because the sun touched me. I can stand in the sun and don't get melanoma. I can go out in the sun and not have to worry about rosacea. I ain't got to worry about getting cancer because God has touched me with his sun. Where's that? Throw up the song. Go ahead.
One time.
I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tent of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Anybody know the curtains in the temple of Solomon was black? Black velvet like they put around the Kaaba, which has the same meaning. Go ahead. Don't be looking at me and saying, huh, look at her, she's black and ugly. Go ahead.
Because I am black.
That's right, go ahead.
Because the sun has looked upon you.
I think the white man got his story of Cinderella out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, the ugly one. And we get the ugly duckling out there. You know, all those little stories that have passed on to you as a child, you know, it's stuck in your head. But God also always has a remedy and a cure. Because within inside that little story of fairy tale, there's another fairy tale too. And in the midst of it, while they try to make Jesus look white, they can't help but add the word lamb. Mary had a little lamb whose fleece was white as snow. See how they did that? That's Revelation. They said, but the word lamb is there. Christ said, I separate the sheep from the lamb. You know what I'm saying? He said, all nations shall hate you for my sake. Ain't nobody on the planet hated like black folks. Everybody hates us for nothing. Once they already had to rest in our, they turn their nose up to you. They're the nose. Reverend Christ said, one drop of black blood means you're mixed. One drop of black blood means you're mixed. That's power. That's the power. If I get one drop of my blood in you, you're mixed. Tell them, half you white folks who think you white or not. Half you all mulattoes. You better go on bed with your nigga and work your way on into Jesus. Come on, let's get back to Isaiah 52. Finish this out. But they told us we were in Egypt aforetime. That was our exodus for 430 years. Now we have another one that we're in now in Genesis chapter 15. That's 400 years. And we're going to get to that in a minute. And you'll see that we're in slavery to Amorites now. And I say we started what? In the 1600s.
Right.
And you had 16 months. Now I have on your 400 years. Not 30 years steps to mention the Revelation. But 30 is only half of the hour.
Mm-hmm.
Only half of the hour. Then you have another 30 to go. And we wasn't ready. That was after a half mark, the so-called 30 years, or 30, it says 30 minutes. Space of 30 minutes. Go ahead, let me go. Where we at?
Isaiah.
Five, Isaiah 52. Now, therefore,
What have I here? Say the Lord.
Look at this. What do I hear? Look at these people.
I got those people out of bondage in Egypt.
What do I have here? Look at this. Go ahead.
That my people were taken away for naught.
That my people were taken away for naught. Kidnapped for nothing. See, check this out. This here says that my people will be taken. This here says my people will be sold for a price in Isaiah 52. This is our body doing it now. Go ahead, talk to me. Those that rule them make them to howl, make you to suffer, make you to cry. Why? Why? Because every time we turn around, we're looking at some Rodney King situation, or Mega Evans, or Dr. King, or Malcolm X, or what's the other fella? Diallo, and the other, the Haitian boy. What's his name? We're always watching white folks kill our kids. Watching them hang us, burn us. White man in the same week that he brought a black man to death. That's why we're howling. That's why we're crying. That's why we're lamenting. But you know what we're not doing?
نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله والي الكريم وصلى الله على أنبياء أجمعين والمسيح والمحسي والمجدد لنا المرسلين. Are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it, and that He is alone and has no partner, and that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universes. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend, and send salutations of Allah on all of His prophets and His apostles, and on the Messiah, the anointed one, and on the Mahdi, the guide, and on the Mujaddid, the reformer, which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
And now, The True Light, featuring Al-Sayyid Al-Imam Isa Al-Hadi Al-Mahdi.
Surah 2, Ayat 214. Or do you think that you would enter the garden while yet the state of those who have passed away before you has not come upon you? That's the part I don't understand.
Okay, in the Holy Quran, 2:14. First of all, we have to understand, whenever you're dealing with the Holy Quran and Surah Al-Baqarah, which is the second, it's usually talking about the children of Israel and their plight. All right, Holy Quran 2:14. Is now talking to the Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his followers, because what they are looking for is an easy way to heaven. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling them in that section that you will not go to heaven until what? Until befalls you the same thing that befell them which is before. Now who is he talking about? He's talking about Bani Israel, talking about the sons and daughters of the house of Israel, and all the things that they went through while they sojourned in captivity in Egypt, and how they were persecuted. And when they tried to get from Egypt back to the promised land, all the things that they encountered, afflictions and suffering and disease and starvation. You follow what I'm saying? These are the things the children of Israel experienced, and if they endured, so that's what they kept saying, he endured to the end. He endured to the end, so he said. If they endured, they made it. If they didn't, they fell to the wayside. It's telling Muslims the same thing. You think because you take your shahada, go to Mecca, and hang around a bunch of Pakistanis and wear perfume and put on a robe and prostrate that you're making it to paradise, you're wrong. You're going to suffer. You're going to go through trials and tribulations. You're going to have afflictions. You're going to have pain like the children of Israel went through. You're going to earn the right to Jannah. If I let, this is what it's talking about in 2:14. Now read it again, you see what it's saying.
So do you think that you would enter the garden while yet the state of those who have passed away before you has not come upon you? distress and affliction befell them, and they were shaken violently.
That's right.
So that the apostle and those who believed with him said.
Now that's the point. Stop there. That the apostle. This apostle is Ar-Rasul Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ashabuhu and his companions. The mu'minun, those faithful people with him, they act. Now go back and read that line again for yourself.
The apostle and those who believed with him said.
So Muhammad and his followers was asking somebody this question. You see this? It wasn't just asking Muhammad this question. Muhammad and his followers was asking a specific question. Now let's see what this question is according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What was the question they asked?
When will the help of Allah come?
No. When will the help of Allah come? He says there. Matta nasrullah. Matta nasrullah. Hear that word, nasrullah? Huh? It's the same word as ansar. Nasr, Ansar, Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and ashabahu and his companions at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When? Matta, Nasrullah. When are they coming? And you know what he said? Allah, inna Nasrullah qareeban. Surely, we want you to know that the Nasrullah is qareeb. It is very soon coming. If you turn to the end of the Quran now, 110, you with me? The 110th surah. You ready?
Not yet.
Okay. The point is that every part of the scripture backs itself up. People look outside of the Quran for answers that are inside. They run to hadith, and to a solid this, a solid that, and the Kalimullah. The Quran of Kareem is the theme. It is clear within itself. It says. Ready now? The first verse is, Iza jaa nasrullahi wal fath. Notice the word, nasrullahi in Arabic again. The most translators say, when the help of Allah comes in the victory, and their poor translation. But it doesn't say that. Either when and if Ja'a, past tense, has come, Nasrullah, Allah's aider, Ansar, Nasr, Nasr, Ansarullah, Nasrullah, Wal Fataha. The word Fataha means the opening. They've been translated as victory, it doesn't mean that. It means a victorious opening, and it's talking about the opening of that same seven seal mentioned in Revelation. And the Quran supports it because it constantly refers to Jesus' disciples as Nasrullah. They asked him, who, Jesus said, who will be my Nasr min Allah? And they said, Inna Nasr, like surely we are Nasrullah, surely we are Ansarullah. We are Allah's aiders, not yours. This is what his disciples told him in 61:14 of the Holy Quran. You follow that? So here this section is telling you something. There's an answer to that question that Rasulullah Muhammad asked and his followers asked Allah. When are these helpers coming? When are they going to be? Muslims say these are angels. Most translators say, no, brother. In this section, they're talking about angels. They're not talking about mortals. More angels don't come, first of all, they're sent. But besides that, as we go on, we're going to see how. And it says, Wara'aita and Nasi. Yadahuluna fi dinillahi. And this is talking about angels coming. Angels do not enter into Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen. Angels don't convert to Islam. Watch now. Iza jaa nasrullahi wal fath. When the aid of Allah comes and the seal is opened, وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسِ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي الدِّينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَجَ. And you see people يَدْخُلُونَ entering فِي الدِّينِ اللَّهِ into the deen of Allah أَفْوَجَ in truth. This is the day we're in now when you people are turning back to Islam, taking off that cloak of ignorance that Paul made for you called Christianity. And dropping that cloak on the floor and stepping back into the deen of Allah, the religion of Jesus. The religion of Moses, the religion of Abraham, in the Christian church, people prayed and sung. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. And now that the old-time religion comes, they want a modern religion. They join Christian scientists and Jehovah's Witnesses, a whole bunch of new religions. You asked for it, and it came. He answered your prayer. When will the help come? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions asked. When will they come? And Allah says, it's near, Muhammad. It is near. This is 1,400 years after. Right? There was 2,000 years between Jesus and Moses. 2,000 years between Abraham and Moses. 2,000. This is the shortest period yet. 1,400 years. And it's here already, the truth. And you're seeing people. Now, it says here, and you'll be seeing people and mass people, yadakhuluna, entering into the deen of Allah. May I ask you a question? Do Arabs enter into the deen of Allah, or are they born because their mothers and fathers were Muslims? Are they born into the deen of Allah?
I was speaking to an Arab, and he claims that they are born.
That's right. He's right. They're born into it. That's good. And when he thinks he's saying something insulting to you, he's really making a fool of himself. What? He says they're born into the religion. In Saudi Arabia, they're born. They're born throughout Jerusalem. In Sudan, in Turkey, in Africa, they're born. Here, you're converted. You are redeemed. Reclaimed. Right? You repent, like the Quran says. You repent. They're born, they don't repent. So here it says, and you see people entering into the religion, not being born into it, but entering into the deen of Allah. Can't be talking about nobody but y'all. There's nobody converting to deen of Allah, putting in the black man in America. He's about where the Quran was like, Muhammad, or by Noble Ali. Whatever path they get, they go towards the truth, and the light is dim, it'll get brighter. You follow? But y'all people are entering into deen of Allah in groups. Nowhere else. It's not happening in Pakistan. It's not happening nowhere else. Yadakhuluna fi deen Allahi afwaja. The word dakhala in Arabic means to enter into, to go into. Idkhul. Come in. Idkhul. Come into my house. You see this? Okay. Fi deen Allah. It doesn't say deen al-Islam. Throughout the Quran, they use deen al-Islam. Why doesn't it say deen al-Islam? You know why? Because deen al-Islam is distorted now by Pakistanians, by Persians, people writing hadith, Bukhari, Shafi. Here's a perfect example. The man that they quote, his name is Abu Huraira. Right? And they quote this man as a hadith writer. Abu Huraira. You know what the word Huraira means in Arabic? A cat. That's the Arabic word for cat. He was called the father of the cat. So therefore, they wrote stories in the so-called stories of the Sahaba to make it look like he was doing a justification. But the Quran tells you to take a good and meaningful name, no nickname, in the Quran. So this man who wrote hadith had a nickname, Bukhari. Bukhari is a place in Russia. That was not his name. He was named after a place. But men have laid down Musa, Isa, Ibrahim, Idris, which is Moses, Jesus, and Idris, stopped following them and started following all these men who wrote hadith and traditions and customs. So deen al-Islam has been spoiled by men and must be reformed. So deen Allah came to Abraham. You see that? Deen Allah was with Jesus. Deen Allah was with Moses. Deen al-Islam was perfected by Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He perfected it, and then after him, and Muslims openly say a period called Ba'd. Then, Ayn Del, meaning after. And in their conversation, they'll say, well, this is the law when Rasulullah was here. This was before, this is Jahili. This is ignorance before he came, after Jesus, but before him. And this is Ba'd. These laws came after Rasulullah left. There should not be no laws made after Rasulullah left. You follow that? Because the Quran says, this day have I perfected or completed for you your deen and called it an Islam. You follow that? So you can say, Muslims do not smoke cigarettes because because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not smoke. You say, well, Hadith says it's all right. Quran says that Allah created Muhammad khalaq al-azim as a perfected being, created to breathe. Then the question is not whether or not you can smoke, but did Rasulullah Muhammad smoke, yes or no?
No.
And if Muhammad didn't smoke, then those who are his, your followers, they don't smoke. Did Muhammad wear plaid tagir? That means plaid prayer caps and blue robes? No. When Jibrael, the angel, Rasulullah alayhi, came to Rasulullah Muhammad, they described him right there in their hadith as having on a white robe. Whiter than every one of the other Sahaba that was standing there, it says. You follow that? In their 49 selected hadith, it says his robe was whiter than everybody's, and that made them wonder because they had just crossed the desert who he was. So they asked him, who was he, and he told them. So now what color robe was the angel Gabriel wearing?
White.
And what color robe was the Prophet Muhammad's companions wearing?
White.
The wild Muslims wearing brown robes they get from Pakistan, and plaid robes, and blue robes, and gray robes, all this stuff that these Pakistanians and modern Saudis are making up. When the Hadith made it clear that they were wearing white, and that they wore black to Ali in war. And that started when Ali's family was being persecuted by Abu Bakr and Aisha, when the so-called Shia and Sunni were formed. And that's why you see this man called himself Ayatollah or Ayatollah wearing black. But they were the martyrs of Islam being persecuted because they stated Ali, alayhi salam, should have been the rightful successor to Muhammad and not Abu Bakr. And so therefore Aisha started persecuting him and established what they called the Sunni sect of Muslims and called the other ones those things. And that's why the word Shia, because the word Ashia, some things. You follow? So it says those people in that latter day will be entering Deen Allah. Deen Allah in the Holy Quran, in the second surah, the 130th ayat, is Milah Ibrahim al-Hanifan. Deen Allah afwajan. To enter into Allah's way of life in group. Which is what y'all are doing today. The next verse is the step back to Hamdi. The word is to glorify, to be grateful, to be thankful, but sabbah, so glorify the Hamdi by way of praising him. Hamda, like Alhamdulillah. And a Muslim says in his prayers, five times a day, he begins his prayer with Surah Al-Fatiha, saying Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, all gratitude and thanks is due to Allah. Okay? So you see it says there, فَسَبْتَحْتِ حَمْدِ رَبُّكَ or رَبِّكَ. The same. It says, glorify by praising your sustainer. Because in Surah Al-Fatiha again, it says, بِسْمِلَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ الْحَمْدِ لِلَّهِ رَبَّ for Lord or sustainer. رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. It is translated as Lord, but it means رَبَّ, someone who preserves or takes care of something. Here he says, فَسَبَّحْتِ حَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرُهُ. Ghafur, the name of Allah, Al-Ghafuru, the forgiver. Now, see some of maybe taking the Shahada at birth and therefore going into the religion, what sin have they committed? None. These people have been living in sin in order to have to ask Allah for forgiveness. You understand? They're talking about the Prophet Muhammad's followers. They were not living in sin. The Quran says they were living in ignorance. It's a difference. In this day and time, people are living in sin. They're married in the name of Jesus Christ and not in the name of the Heavenly Father. They drink to get drunk. The women go with their bodies uncovered. They go with their faces uncovered. All the laws that in the Quran, they're being taught by people who are impersonating themselves as Muslims. The Quran tells you that people that will be impersonating themselves as Muslims. When they're with you, they say they are faithful or believers. When they leave you and get back to the temple, they're with them. Pakistan professes to be such a religious Islamic country and is making ties with America, who is an understood atheist country.
Saudi Arabia is supposed to be an Islamic country. What does the Quran say? Do not make friends with Christians and the so-called Jews because they are friends of each other. Correct? So how is Saudi Arabia making deals with America? How is Pakistan making deals with America? How is Morocco making deals with America? How is Iran, Iraq, and all other countries making deals with America? America is a Christian country. The Quran tells us not to do it. Because when they're with you, and they meet you in the streets, you say you're Muslim, they say, oh, me too, I'm Muslim too. Then they leave you and they go back down to the school and they're studying economics and political strategy. They socialize with the white kids and they drink, smoke cigarettes, drink beer, and say, I was going to make it fun. The fool is on them. I'm showing you this to show how these quotes couldn't be applied to nobody but you as a people. So it says, so glorify and by praising your sustainer and ask his forgiveness. Seek his forgiveness. For surely, innahu kana tawwabam. For surely, he was the one who accepted the repentance. This is what makes it so interesting. But he put his kana in action. This word tawab means to repent, to have been doing something wrong and then turn back. Now why is it so important? Because the Quran al-Kareem, Kitab Allah, Lord al-Alameen, the light of the whole universe, tells people there's one thing other than suicide that there's no forgiveness for. And what is that? What does the Quran say?
Setting up someone with the law.
That's right. And almost, I say, for people who don't understand, almost everybody sitting in that room now was guilty of that. You were Christian. Correct?
Yes.
Almost. If you wasn't, then you wasn't. Almost everybody in that room at one time was a Christian. And in that period of time, you believed that Jesus was God incarnated. Or you followed Master W. Farad, and you believed that he was God incarnated. And if you believe that he was God or Jesus was God, then you had set up partners with Allah. Right? And they say there's no forgiveness for that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made an exemption for y'all right here in the Quran. He said, once you get back into your deen, that doesn't mean partying it. That doesn't mean pick up the pamphlets and just read them. Back in. See, inside. Here, it says, yadakuluna, to enter inside, to go inside something. You understand? The children of Israel had a community they had to live in. They had to go again. Jesus' disciples had to leave their family and come follow him. And that Mark quote that Sister asked the brothers to read earlier was Jesus saying to leave your family to come with him. That's what he told. That's what he was told to do. My mother, my brothers, and those who believe as I believe. Jesus is a teaching to set up a community and live in it. Says right in the Quran. ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره إنه كان توابا. Right there telling you, when you see people entering in, leaving the world, leaving the streets and going into the community, what community? Go back to the first line. إِذَا جَعَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ أَنْصَارُ اللَّهِ إِذَا جَعَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ Right there in the Quran is plain simple language. When you see people joining into the Ansarullah community and you start to glorify by praising the Lord and seeking his forgiveness, because he was the one who forgave you before. He forgave the children of Israel when they was in Egypt and they had reduced themselves to worshiping all those idols. Right? He forgave them. And just like you started off with 2:14. You must go through the same thing that Beni Israel went through. And now he says, you have a right to repentance if you drop your net and become fishes of men. If you yadakuluna, the deen of magic, you enter inside the deen. Don't let your wife keep you in the world. Don't let your husband keep you in the world. There's a new world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rabbil Alameen, the state of all the boundless universe. But he has set up a community each time. He has sent a wana or a prophet or a messenger, but he sent up a community. the world and in and going into that community and living for other by each other. That's what Israel was doing when they set up the 12 fountains of water. They were living in the Ark of the Tabernacle, setting up their law, not outside. Right there tells you to do that in the Quran. You don't want to do it, all I can do is warn. That's my job. I'm a warner. And Allah tells you to enter into your deen. Go into it. Not outside there reading the book. You're getting heavy. You're going from party to party. Pretend you're coming. I'm coming. I'm coming. Do my wife get together. Do my kids get together. Yadahulun abidin allahi afwaja. Fatasas bihamdi rabbika wa sahuru innahu kana tawwaba. Sadaqallahu al-azim. And when Allah puts forth the truth, you can believe it is the truth. Sadaqallahu al-azim. Okay? I have another question where a brother was telling me that he gave me an example. He said that if somebody put a gun to your head and they asked you to blaspheme Allah's name, he asked me, well, what would I do? I said I'd let him pull the trigger so that I wouldn't blaspheme Allah's name. But he said, no, that's wrong. He said, you should do what he says to save your life. And you should have said, wonderful, every man is entitled to his own opinion. Because it's not a scriptural debate. It's just two morals talking. And it was something that you can defend by the scripture. And if he says that's a scriptural doctrine, they show me. He said that, okay, because you shouldn't commit suicide. He was trying to say that you're committing suicide. But I can't use that because you're not pulling the trigger. Well, that's you. See, again, that's an interpretation, a moral interpretation of suicide. You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're committing suicide living in New York, breathing all this poison, and that's it. You want to get technical, we're all living, we're committing suicide every day. You know, but that's not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala meant when he meant suicide, when he said suicide. He meant when a person maliciously sits down to take their own life. He said, if this body was rented to you to educate that soul, then you don't have the right to stop that. You follow? Now, if somebody pulls a gun out on you, and you got the courage as an individual to say, shoot me, that's you. There's other people who run with the Quran in their hand, run. That's all part of the individual. It's not something that you should get caught up religiously debating about. You follow? Unless he can show you in the Quran the likeness or similitude or the Torah, the similitude to that incident, and make that the criteria because this is Kalam Allah. Don't worry about men's words, worry about Allah's words. Say, show me in the scriptures where this story or something like this has happened so I can see. If not, you waste your time arguing with him. You can be arguing about, you know, the proper way to prostrate and so on. You follow me? So waste of time to argue about things like that. Thank you.
It was the devil conceived by artificial insemination or natural?
The pale devil? He, as we read from Genesis 9:25, where he received the curse of the first curse goes on the son Cain from Ham's house, all the way down to Leviticus 13, and then of course Leviticus 14:33, 1, 2, and 3, where they speak about the curse being placed there. But 13 tells us how he got his complexion, how he got his skin, hair, color, and eye color. He is a result of the disease called Abras. Abras is, in other words, for leprosy. He is a leper. Throughout the scripture, he was called the Canaanite, or the Amorite, or the Hittite, or the Arkite, or the Hevite, or the Anakite. He had many different names from his tribe that spread throughout the world, spreading the disease. Their diseases have resulted in sickness and gonorrhea and rheumatism and arthritis and glaucoma and all the different blood and skin diseases that come from being a leper. And we have now got that by way of integrating and marrying and having intercourse with these demons. That is a physical devil, which if you want to get its origin as a physical devil, you have to go back to the beginning of Genesis chapter 3. When man and woman is getting the curse of Allah put on them, and it tells you about the iniquity being between the woman's seed, which is Genesis 3:15. When he's speaking about how the devil had deceived the woman of Ibiza, and it says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, speaking to thee, meaning the fallen angel himself,
Azazel and Lucifer, between thee and the woman, because only woman there was Mother Hawa or Eve, between thee and the woman, and between thy seed, meaning the serpent's seed, and her seed. You see that? The word seed is Nun Sin Lam, Nesala. Nun Sin Nesala. And it's also the same thing in Hebrew, Nesala. And in Aramaic, Nesala. The same word, Nesala, meant to be an offspring, to give birth to a child, to have a progeny, etc. So in the Bible, right in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, the Almighty Creator of the heaven and the earth is telling the devil and the woman that there's going to be hate and jealousy between their descendants. But nowhere in Christian teaching or Jewish teaching do they confess to the fact that the devil would have descendants. They keep acting as if the devil is one red being with a pitchfork. And like saying about it, it tells you that the iniquity shall be between thy seed, meaning the devil, and her seed, meaning Eve. You follow? So he has been cursed since the foundation of the world. And the Holy Quran confirms it in the 20th chapter, the 102nd verse, when it says, on the day that the trumpets are blown, we will assemble all of those guilty or accused, pre-accused, blue-eyed devil. The devil has already been judged. Please don't ask me, is it possible for white people to repent? The scripture teaches us that since the Garden of Eden, the devil and his seed has already been cursed. And that through the Savior that will come to man, man will be able to re-enter paradise and receive everlasting life. But that the devil himself and his host of angels and followers will be cast into fire and brimstone forever. So please, people, stop asking me, is there hope for white Muslims? Is there hope for good white people? Because the scripture tells us that they have been cursed since the foundation of the world. And it tells you also that they're going to be able to deceive you. They said they're going to be so shrewd that if it's possible, they'll trick even the elite, if it's possible. But they're going to make you think they're righteous, make you think they're human, make you think they care. They don't cure, they preserve. They understand the difference between curing and preserving? They don't cure people, they preserve. They cut out and replace parts. There's a big difference in what they did and what the prophets and the Messiah did. And they call medical in the name of God. And yet they have a serpent on the sword as their symbol, which is a symbol of the cherubim that guards the gate to keep man from getting back into spiritual heaven. The medical symbol is a symbol of Satan. A sword with a snake wrapped around it, which is symbolic of the sword that was put on the gate at the garden to keep Adam and Eve from getting back into spiritual garden, that they might, yes, there's a Bible that they might do if they get in there. Put forth their hand and take of the tree of life and live forever. Right? You know, the Bible teaches the medical symbol is not trying to make people live forever. It's trying to play the Creator. God does know that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be open and you shall be as God. This is why they have artificial assimilation. This is why they have cloning. This is why they're doing all this stuff. They're trying to prolong life, heart transplant. But the one thing that the Almighty Creator of the heavens and earth can do that man can't do is create. Man can procreate. Man can assimilate. Man can mix. But he cannot bring about something new. Anybody in that room think of something that has never been thought of or seen before, it's impossible. Think of a color that has never been seen, you can't. Man does not have the power in him to create. Only the Almighty can create. Man can make, procreate, meaning having children. He can do, but he cannot create. And the devil cannot give you that power. Okay? He can transport, he can't create.
Where should we, or where should the lost souls follow what Jesus do? What did Jesus mean? What?
All right. If you would open your Bible to St. John's chapter 1, you'll find out that Jesus did not finish his mission. He told them, there's many things I have to say unto you, however, you cannot bear them yet. But when he, the Comforter, comes, right? He shall lead you into all truth. Now, what did Jesus mean by that?
That he would show you.
Chapter 16, he says. He says, well, go back to 14. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, which of course they did not do. Right? Because they did not follow what Jesus said to do his disciples. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even, see, people keep saying that comforter is the Holy Spirit. Right? And the Bible says, even the Holy, see that? Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not. Even the angel Gabriel, who's the Spirit. But the angel Gabriel was not seen. Muhammad was seen. The angel Gabriel came to Muhammad in the cave, who was the comforter, and gave him the Holy Ghost and the Quran. You see that? Now, if you go back to the same chapter of John 5:3, in these lay a great multitude of important folk, of blind halt. He's talking about his own Jewish people. They were blind. They were lost. They did not follow. All
right?
Then he goes on to give you the Lord's Prayer and how they should have prayed, our Father who art in heaven. These people did not believe the teachings of Jesus. So they would not inherit everlasting life. Because they did not accept the Comforter who came, whose name was Muhammad, who Jesus sent. See, the angel that said in 15 was sent from the Father. But Jesus sent Muhammad because each prophet heralds another prophet.
Okay, that's it.
Hey, ma'am. In your pamphlet, by the title, I think it is, Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should not be called God. You were speaking of the name Jehovah, and you said something about the Hebrew word being Yahweh, but you never said what the word Jehovah means, being a Latin word. What does it actually mean in Latin?
You cannot take a word out of Hebrew, bring it into Latin phonetically, and then create a definition. You follow? Because the word is in Arabic, Yahuwah, oh he. You see that? And we say kul huwa, we're saying oh he, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All they did is took the Yah because there's no J in the ancient Hebrew letter. Right? And they put it in the front and changed it from Yahuwah to Jahuwah. So there is no meaning to it. Because it was grafted from another language. It's just a mistranslation. There is no word Jehovah. They did that purposely so that people would not worship the Creator by his proper name.
Okay, you said the Lord is our Creator, right? Who created him? Where did he come from? I mean, like, where is he from?
Now, this is the most interesting thing about that question. Ready? Ask it again. Who created him?
Yeah.
Now, when you get that question started, we got to go back to who the who was. Correct? So now we move from him to who. You see that? No, you miss what I mean. You said, okay, we're talking about God. He created us. Who created him? You see the statement? He has fixed that question that anybody who asks it will be glorifying him at the point of the question. Who is the ancient Arabic word for he who is. So when y'all in English phonetics ask who created him, you're still saying he who is. And when you get to the point of questioning who brought about God, whoever brought about God would be God, correct? He would be greater than God to create God. And you keep on going on to this question infinitely. Well, then who created him? And then who created him? And who created him? And who created him? And who created him? The trick of it is our concept of creation is the manifestation of something in some form, right? Something that we can either see, hear, taste, smell, or feel. That is creating something. You see? Are you with me?
Yeah.
Okay. The source of the universe created nothingness to place something in. You understand?
Yeah. I know it says without mother, without father. I know I read that, but I'm saying what is he, some force that like pulls himself together or what? You know, it's not.
That's what I was trying to explain. But you gotta take the time to understand this. Our understanding of creation is things that we either see, hear, taste, smell, or feel. You understand that? Now, the Almighty had to bring about a state of in order to become. And that's as far as the English will take it. He has to create, I'm not going to stop, but I mean as far as that wording. He had to create a state of in order to become. Tangible enough for us to calculate his presence. You understand that? So therewith, the essence of his real being does not fall in the realm of what man understanding as existence. He had to create a state by which man could identify with him and therewith pick up attributes as like a being. And see, that's beyond. You got years yet before we get to that understanding. I can only tell you about it. One day you may, some people in there understand what I'm saying. He had to create a state of before he could become, before he can bring it into existence. You understand? Because human beings identify things by what they either see, hear, taste, smell, or feel. But the ultimate of the human being is the reactionary nerve system to things they see, hear, taste, smell, and feel, which they don't see the nutrition in an orange. They don't see it, but they eat the orange, the essence of the orange. So when the orange was manifest, we learned that in it was an essence that would nourish the body. The Almighty did the same thing with his existence. He made an existence necessary for us to filter from it the nutrition of spiritual upliftment or Holy Spirit. So it's not no time in creation anywhere where he was created, because to be created means that you have a creator. And if he has a creator, then that is the creator. And if someone created that, then that is the creator. Now, to make it easy, he is the all. Can you take away from the all? No, because you can't put it nowhere. Can you add to the all? No, because you wouldn't get it from anywhere in order for them to be the all. So to try to be a part of a circle on the inside and understand the outside of the perimeter is impossible while you're in this state. You understand what I'm saying? If you're inside a room, you can't see the bricks outside. If you're outside, you can't see the bricks inside. And if it's transparent, then there are no breaks. So to comprehend the existence of the Almighty, you have to get outside this house that you call the body. And then you'll be outside looking in. But you will never be able to comprehend the presence of the Most High while inside the body. You merely can bite into his orange and get nourishment from his Holy Spirit. You understand? It's not a simple, you asked a biggie. That's what they call a biggie. That is a complicated question with a very simple answer. You cannot think past what you can think. Okay? You have a watch? Does it tick or is it battery operated now?
Battery operated.
Okay, there was a time when a watch was acute to us of the existence of two worlds side by side. So the devil took the tick out of it. Your watch ticked. And the tick was calculating time. And each tick was a moment. Correct? It went tick, 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 tick. What he did not give you is what was happening to that space between those ticks. He only told you about the ticks. And he calculated seconds and minutes and hours and months and days and years and months from the tick. He never mentioned what happened to the tick. If the space between the ticks, that is a coexisting etheric world right next to this one. He has combined the two now, and time is zooming past us. Now that he's taking the tick out, is why you say, time is going by so fast. It was just Friday the other day, now it's Friday again. Time is zooming because there's no longer a clock in existence. The devil has taken the clock out, so we would lose the ability to calculate time. But the tick is the physical world, and the space between it is the etheric world, or the world where the angels dwell. He does not want you to be conscious of that, so he keeps you in tune with the tick, not the space. You will never be able to understand the space while you're living by the tick. I'm trying every kind of different way I can to make you see this. But it's basically beyond simple human comprehension. It takes a lot of spiritual knowledge to understand that you cannot see the outside of a circle while you're inside it. So you cannot see the perimeter of the universe while you're standing in the center. I see that. Okay?
Okay, I have a question. My parents are both Puerto Rican, and I am too, but I've always considered myself black. But yet, they don't appreciate me hanging with blacks or any in that form of way. But she's never said it verbally, but she's always said it in her actions, as though actions speak louder than words. But I've wondered why, because my sister made mistakes in the past with black eyes, but she's always considered me like, you know, I don't want you going that way. So, you know, don't step in.
Well, see, the mistake can be made with black guys, Chinese guys. Mistakes are made, you know, with anybody. A lot of our parents, right? Even some of those people sitting in there that you would call black, their parents don't want them to be black. You follow what I'm saying? They tell them to get they straighten their hair, braid their hair. When there was a little girl, they were straightening their hair and doing everything they can, trying to make them not what they are. Because it looks as if you're on the bottom of the totem pole when you're black. You have nothing. You'll never be nothing. You follow? So most parents, remember this, your parents don't mean any harm. Remember this. They think they're doing what's best for you. They think they're putting you in a successful part of this society because it's apparent that white people have made more success in this country because the laws of it are so treacherous. So he's much more successful in his economic growth than blacks are. So she thinks she's doing the best thing for you. Don't dislike her for it. Just try to reach her. You know what I'm saying? Try to touch her heart and let her see that love is not based on that. She thinks that if you can marry a white guy, that you'll do better. And she don't mean no harm. She loves you more than you think she does by that very gesture. Even though it's a bad gesture as far as you're concerned, she thinks it's the right thing for you. So she doesn't mean any harm. Try to work with her. Take time. Just tell her you'll understand one day. Or get stranded down south and she'll understand immediately. You got crackers down there that don't care about us at all. That's all part of the new growing stage we're going through now. When the people from our Latin descent start realizing that they are the original seed also. That's going to take a little time. But it's happening fast. And when we get united, there'll be no stopping us. We definitely will no longer be the minority, that's for sure. And we control the workforce. You know what I'm saying? If y'all wanted a black program on Channel 11 or a Latino program in Spanish on Channel 11, all we all got to do is get together and tell Channel 11 that we are not going to watch that channel anymore until they put that on. And when their ratings start to drop, they'll put on anything you want. You realize that? That's how this society works? So that's why they spend a lot of time trying to keep us divided so we don't get any unified thoughts that gives us power in voting or in anything else. That's why they do it. If we ever get together, our population is so... Imagine how they split Harlem up, Spanish Harlem, the Bronx, in this Latin. Imagine if all that was one. If they all had the same voting power, all them people up there can control New York City. They can put Mayor Koch in or out of office. And believe it, they know it. So they got to spend a lot of time trying to make us think we're different. But our nature tells us, especially when we get in Central Park on a Sunday and people are playing the conga, and everybody, we can relate, and white people be looking around like, my gosh, that's interesting. And you see the brother, one brother who's Spanish, pass the conga over to another brother, and they just start jamming together. And white people say, gosh, that's when we realize we're one, when our souls meet. And our souls can meet on a Latin floor. And Cyndi Lauper is not moving like that because she wants to look strange. Cyndi Lauper thinks she's dancing. When she's jumping around making them stupid moves, she really thinks she's doing what we do, you know. But she can't. If you put on a Joe Cuba record and told her to do the Latin, she would fall all over her feet. She just can't do it. She just don't have the soul to keep the top of her body and the bottom of her body working simultaneously. They can't do it. You ever see white people's feet? Watch them try to dance? You ever see a white person try to do the pop or the snake? You see some real funny stuff to see a white person. They have no soul. They have a spirit, but they have no soul. There's a difference. You can have a spirit without a soul. You follow? So moms will give her time. She'll catch on. Just be patient and realize she's not doing it because she means you harm. She's doing it because she thinks she's doing the best thing for you. It's nothing but an expression of her love. And let her know you know that. Okay?
You have been listening to The True Life, sponsored by the original Prince of Kedar, located at 717 Bushwick Avenue in Brooklyn, New York. You are also invited to attend the Questions and Answers class every Sunday from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. in the Hall of Knowledge at 548 Hart Street in Brooklyn, New York. And now, more profound than ever before, The Pampas' Peace, authored by the master teacher and spiritual guide, Ex-Sayyid El-Imam Isa El-Hadi El-Mahdi, covering such topics as who's who on the planet Earth, the resurrection, who was Noble Drew Ali, who was Jesus' father, who was Marcus Garvey, St. Paul, disciple or deceiver, and much, much more. Also, to aid your spiritual growth, we have a beautifully crafted hand-woven prayer rug designed by Ex-Sayyid El-Imam Isa El-Hadi El-Mahdi. We also have a large assortment of prayer beads, Nubian and Sufi oils, and incense. The original Tents of Kedar would like for you to write or call us and let us know how the true life has changed your life. Remember, above all things, truth is truth.
Lord, stop saying you're a preacher. Stop saying you're a reverend or pastor if you don't know the answer. Because I know the answer. I'll go on and watch it happen. Number five. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea. Everybody who lived in Judea came out to John the Baptist. And what happened? And they of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the whole place and Judea was the capital. You see, watch what it says. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem and were what, somebody? What? You left out a very important word. They were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. So John the Baptist baptized everybody in Judea and all of Jerusalem. They tried to make John the Baptist look like he was a little man with a little teeny congregation. They passed John the Baptist off. John the Baptist was a powerful man with a big following who all wore sackcloth and ate locusts and went against the Lord's religion. They didn't follow the Lord's religion. They were eating locusts and wearing clothes. They is the wrong way to life. The Sanhedrin and the Pharisees of the time were not wearing.
He came and came with the owner of the commandment out of the wilderness near Jordan. Why did he near Jordan? Why in the wilderness? Because there's another group of men out there who call themselves the Essenes. You know about them? Well, the scientists found out because they found what they refer to as the Dead Sea Scrolls or the tablets of Qumran. Found them up in the hall in our cave of the Jordan River. Do some research. That was John the Baptist congregation, the Essenes. Now do research on them and find out that they were mystics. And they had supernatural power, healing powers. They meditated most of the day. They bathed in big tubs of water. They fasted most of the time, 40 days and 40 nights of a time. And they went into the wilderness to do this because they were close to God, as they say. The Christians don't have no knowledge of who these people are. They don't know. But they write in the Bible because they won't study past preachers' doctrines. All the preachers are trying to keep gas in them Cadillacs. They don't care nothing about the truth of the Bible. If you're serious, when I say let's go to Greek, do you speak Greek? No. Do you speak Hebrew? No. You speak Aramaic?
No.
So you never really intended to know what Jesus was saying. You just want to know what King James said Jesus said. And you really want to know, you're young enough where you would have took the time, Reverend, to learn the language of Christ. And then you would have opened your Bible in front of people and would have been a Hebrew Bible. Let's go back to Mark again. So now we understand that John the Baptist had converted all of Jerusalem and Judea. All of them were converted and was now expecting the Messiah, who they interpreted as the Christ. I'm open to admit that they all said. Number six. And John was clothed with camel's hair. That's the cloth. And with a girdle of skin about his loins. And he ate locusts and wild honey. Things that didn't have nothing to do with the Lord. Right? He's not following the law of Israel, not the books of Leviticus. Let's go on. And preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the laces of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. He announced Jesus as being so much greater than himself that he said, with all the congregation I have, this one coming after me, I can't even match him to the point where I can sit down and tie his shoes. Did he respect Jesus? Did he love Jesus? You better believe he did. Now, look how powerful he was. And now let's see what he says, though. I indeed have baptized you with water. Submerging a person underwater. All the way underwater. Not in no church, holding nose, dipping your back. Remember the Father, the Holy Ghost? Remember the Father? That's not the way it was done. And right here, John separates the way he was baptized from the way Jesus was baptized. He said, he baptizes with water. Now tell me what he said Jesus would do. You mean it. Huh? Say it again. But Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. They don't want the truth. They want to play. They want the tea off the truth. They don't want the R-E-U. The rest of the letter. They just want the tea. We are born again. Believe me, the Almighty will protect you, even what you don't know. He has. He'll forgive you for what you don't know. He's all forgiven, most merciful. He knows that. He knows that you're stumbling in the darkness. That's why I said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You're walking in shadows now, and death is in front of you. But fear no evil because he's with us. He's been protecting you for centuries. That's why we're here. You're coming down to the countdown and the end of the world. The world is the point now where every prophecy in the Bible is unfolding. You want pestilence? You want earthquakes? The world is lining itself up right now for a major earthquake in California. And they're calculating it. They say it's going to happen. They're telling the people to get out of there, and they're still soul training. Number eight. I indeed have baptized with water. But he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. That's how Jesus was baptized, with the Holy Ghost. Not with water. So take them tubs out the basement in them churches. If you're going to do it Jesus' way, or admit that they're doing it John's way. And John's way was replaced by Jesus' way. You get the Holy Ghost walking down 42nd Street in the midst of all that devilishment. The Holy Ghost can tap into you, and you get to talking in tongues. When I say tongues, I'll have you walking. I'll take you to books of Corinthians and explain tongues to you, too. I ain't talking about no gibberish. It says tongues and translations. The word lisana means tongue for Lora, language. And therefore, all of these followers of Jesus who were Jews, as they went out to different parts of the world, was able to speak to the people. That was the miracle. A very small miracle compared to some of the ones he performed, but that was one of the miracles. It says, and it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John the Baptist. So Jesus himself was baptized. That's number 9. Number 4 tells us why people get baptized. For the remission of sin and redemption. So when you ask the Christian preacher, why did Jesus have to be baptized? He don't answer you. He just starts preaching. He says, excuse me, Reverend, I don't want to be disrespectful. But I'm just asking for an answer. I'm not asking for a sermon. Why was Jesus Christ, who was born sinless, incarnation of God in flesh, why did he have to be baptized is the question. I'm trying to give you questions to go out and ask them. When Reverend gets up there and starts speaking, he says, excuse me, will there be a question and answer period after this lecture? I don't mind sitting to the lecture and getting this good feeling and singing and dancing and popping a tambourine, but will we have questions and answers? Will we walk through this Bible? Will we walk from west to east? Because I got some very important questions I want to ask you. But why'd you dip me in water if you baptized me in the name of Jesus? You should have dipped me in water and baptized me in the name of John. But dip me in the Holy Spirit and baptize me in the name of Jesus. And if you can't dip me in the Holy Spirit, then you're the wrong reverend, so give up the throne. If you can't restore my spirit, then give up the throne. The millionaires aren't looking for Christ. They're looking for more millions. They're looking to control the world. What do you think is going to happen to you when atheists rule the world? Huh? You got evangelists and Pentecostals and Jehovah's Witnesses and Muslims and everybody spreading out in different directions. And the enemy is the same, atheists. You understand that? People who do not have love of the Heavenly Father. People who do not want to live by the laws and commandments of the Scriptures. I don't care whether they're the Torah, the Talmud, the Mishnah, the Quran, the NGO, the Gospel. I don't care what it is, what path it's on, my father's house, how many mansions. But you don't want to obey it. You want to make it obey you. You want to curb these Scriptures and make them suit you. Like I just pointed out in St. Mark's, where it says that John said that he baptized with water. And now, but Jesus, one after him, is going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. Yet all the Christians are still dipping each other in water. Who are they following? John the Baptist or Jesus? It says the baptism is for the redemption and the remission of sin. To get your sins removed. Yet Jesus was baptized. And we call him sinless. Is this a mistake? Was it a poor translation? A misunderstanding? Or is it just an outright lie?
In the book of John, when it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, I would like to know if you can give me a better understanding in the King James Version interpretation of what that means.
St. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Kalima, not the Logos. It wasn't a Greek. Bibada alazi kalima. In the beginning was the kalima, the word. Now here's the trick. The kalima in Israel is this statement. Yo, Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. That's what they call Shema Israel or El Kalimat. The declaration of the oneness of God is called the word in Hebraic teachings. If you ask him, say, Jesus, ask this, Jesus, what is the highest of all of the commands? And he said that the Lord thy God is one God. He used that word. Now that word can be made flesh. Watch it out. In the beginning was the declaration of the oneness of God. Why? Because when you write it down, you're going to see how it stretches from one word into a sentence and then back into one word. They go, La ilaha illallah. In Arabic, it's the same thing in Hebrew, which comes from Allah. So every letter in that is one word. It pushes into the word. So that God was in the beginning. God was the beginning. The same was in the beginning with God. Watch. And the word was with God. Now we have ma, with in a sense of accompanying, asahaba, to walk with and be with, and to have in my possession. You see the difference? And you have the word be, with, by way of utilization in Semitic languages. In the scripture, though, they use the word and to have with me in my possession, was inside me, not outside of me, inside of me. Here's what he said. In the beginning was that declaration of oneness, and the declaration of oneness was with God, within him. Because he later put the declaration forward in the first commandment. Took it out of himself and put it in the first commandment, because that's why he said it was written by God's own hand. He put the first commandment out, and that was that the Lord thy God is one God. That's four translations. The word was with God, and the word was God. Because when God wrote the first commandment, who was he writing about? Himself. He wrote about the Lord thy God, and he was doing it himself. The word was with him. He was the word. He's the one who taught the declaration of oneness of God himself, about himself. This is not Jesus yet. He comes up in here, but not yet. Watch. The same was in the beginning with God, which would have been, this is how it was. Mad talent. He be that. I know, and the law. This is how it was with God. This is how things were. He was alone. He was in the beginning of Genesis, who was with him? And then they, the Spirit of God and Jesus moved upon the face of the waters. It said the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, a single in the beginning, in Genesis 1. There's not no two there. And then Elohim, when they said Elohim, the Hebrew word Elohim is short, Eloh for Allah. The same word, Eloh and Allah is the same word, and Him is just the plural, and that means Allah and all of His angelic hosts, the ones He used who were here before man was on earth. That's Elohim. The same was in the beginning with God. Now, all things were made by Him. See, because we know all things wasn't made by Jesus. You see what I'm saying? But Satan wasn't made by Jesus. The tree in the garden wasn't made by Jesus. Because God takes exclusive right to those things in the beginning of the Bible. Himself in the first person singular. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. So nothing came into existence would be other than by way of Him. His kalim, His declaration, Allah or Elohim. In Him was life. And the life was the light of man. See, Jesus was called the Son of Man. So therefore, as a Son of Man, He also had this light and His life. Why? Because in Genesis chapter 1, He said, I breathed into man of my spirit, and man became a living soul. The breath of life is light of every man that cometh into the world. The light is a light in man. Watch what He says. What is this life and light? The light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness perceiveth not. The Spirit of the Most High is inside of every one of your dark shells. Your body without the light of the Lord is dark. But you don't feel the presence of God yet. In Genesis, what did He say? He said He put His Spirit into you and you became a living soul. Is that what He said? So He's there in you, but you don't know it until you get the Holy Ghost. So the light is shining in the darkness, but you don't even perceive His presence. Jesus is not shining inside you. Jesus didn't even say He would shine inside you. He said He'd send the Holy Spirit to be in you. It can't be Him. Number six, there was a man sent. They just took the word sent because The word would be Rasul, an apostle. They just translated it wrong. There's a man who is an apostle from God, Rasulullah. See? Then he gave his name, whose name was Yahya, or Yohana in Hebrew, John. The same, this man, John, came for a witness. Now we're back to the statement of Revelation chapter 1. A witness. The same words. Came for a witness. To bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. They say, see, to him here, they say it's Jesus. Now, he came, John, to bear witness of the light from the Father that through him men may believe. Why? Because John was the one baptizing people with the light, the Spirit. He made them. He converted all of Jerusalem and Judea before Jesus started teaching. Right in the book of Mark, chapter 1, the whole of Judea and Jerusalem did John convert to repent of their sins, it says. So John received this book in the year 96 A.D. You want to accept the teachings the way you want. You don't want the pure, unadulterated Judaic teachings of Jesus where you have to keep the Sabbath, circumcision, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. You don't want that part of it. You don't want to fast. You want to limit. So, well, no, we don't have to do that nowadays. And we don't have to do this nowadays. And we don't have to do that nowadays. We don't have to do that nowadays. What do you do that Christ did? You have not thought of everything he did. When you look at y'all, you don't see nothing he did. What do y'all do that Christ did? He didn't go out spreading the gospel the way you do. What are you doing that Christ did? Nothing but saying you do.
We will return with the true light after this brief intermission. Now is the time to ask questions of your leaders, teachers, and preachers. Where did all the races of people come from? Why did John have to baptize Jesus at the Jordan? And why do the four Gospels contradict each other? The answer to these questions can be with only one man, as Sa'id al-Imam Isa al-Hadi al-Mahdi, the man who has written over 150 books on such topics as, is there life on other planets? How were the pyramids built? What race was Adam and Eve? And was the Holy Quran made up by Muhammad, or was it a divine scripture sent from the Most High? And what is the difference between the spirit and the soul? The answer to these questions can be found in the most dynamic books in history, authored by As-Sa'id al-Imam Isa al-Hadi al-Mahdi. These books can be purchased at the original Tentakita at 719 Bushwick Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11221. Would you like to see the man behind the voice you hear teaching the total truth? He is there at the Hall of Knowledge located at 548 Hart Street, Brooklyn, New York. Every Saturday and Sunday at 1 p.m., the Nubian Islamic Hebrews would like to invite you to question and answer classes with As-Sa'id al-Imam Isa al-Hadi al-Mahdi. Come listen and learn. Hear the words of truth for yourself. Hear the answers to long-awaited questions. Also for your spiritual growth, an intricate design woven prayer rug designed by the hand of As-Sa'id al-Imam Isa al-Hadi al-Mahdi. Also available are prayer beads, incense, and oils. If you would like any further information on these items, contact the original tent of Kedar, 719 Bushwick Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11221. And be sure to ask for a listing of the most dynamic books in history, authored by As-Sa'id al-Imam Isa al-Hadi al-Mahdi. Now let us continue with the true light. Remember, you are the light, and you have the power over all things.
Genesis 25, verse 24. Is this speaking on the Amorites and the Nubians when Rebekah gave birth and first came out all over like a hairy garment, and they called this name, what's his name?
Esau.
Esau. Is that?
No. What happened is these are twins. See, the Christians try to make it look like these are not twins. These are twins, and that is a very common occurrence. You have people with give birth, and a baby has a lot of hair, mm-hmm. born with hair on the body. A lot of people are born like that. A lot of black people won't admit it, but if they ask their grandmother, they say, yeah, when you was born, you was covered in hair.
Nice.
And then as you got older, that hair went away. When these two twins were born, one of them was born full of hair, and one of them was born very weak and spottish, with red spots on it. Jacob was born with these red spots on him, like certain babies are born with red bruise marks, and they go away. And Esau was born covered in hair. So Esau's name meant hairy. That's what the name Esau means. Because when the priest looked at them, they named the child after that, what they saw. And they called him Esau, or Yitzhak in Hebrew, or Isaac in Arabic, and it meant hairy. So these were both twins, and they were the same complexion. Go ahead.
So let me just ask you this. Both of them were, they were both Nubians.
Both of them were black. That's right.
Okay. Now I was in the city. I don't know what they were. They were saying that one of them were white and the other one was black.
Yeah, they call themselves Israelites. They came here one time.
He was saying that the one who sold his birthright, which one was it, Jacob?
Jacob was black and Esau was white, they say.
Okay.
Yeah, it has no truth in it whatsoever. Because, let me tell you why. Let's go back and find out who we're talking about. We're talking about Jacob and Esau, who were born to Isaac and Rebekah, right?
Exactly.
Now, Rebekah was the daughter of a man named Nahor, who was Abraham's uncle, which meant that he was Abraham's father's brother, all right? Now, Abraham was a Chaldean, and they're known to, everybody knows the ancient Chaldeans was black. They got statues of them because they lived in the land of Babylon. But they'll show you with the nappy beards and the nappy hair, okay? If he married his own father's brother, then he married his what? His cousin, his first cousin, right? So Rebekah was really Isaac's first cousin. So therefore, Rebekah and both Isaac had to be what color?
Black.
They both. So therefore, Rebekah was black and Isaac was black. And then Rebekah and Isaac got together and gave birth to twins, and they were called Jacob and Esau. So now, two black grandparents on both sides, and two black great-grandparents on both sides, and two black great-great-grandparents on both sides, mean all four generations was black gene, there was no white in there. Tell them Israelites on 42nd Street to please tell me how four generations of black genes gave birth to one white kid.
I know you thought
through it. It's good to ask the question. But they just don't know what they're talking about. They're trying to find out where the white man fits in the Bible, and they don't know.
Okay, but it was also explained how, where it says, don't quote me on this, it says that the young will rule over the old until the yoke is broken.
That's right.
Okay.
And that's exactly what happened.
They were saying how the white man is the younger race of this earth, that he is ruling over the old, which is the black race. And until we break the yoke, then we'll take our rightful position.
That's a nice little story. This is not true. It comes out where what happened is the tribe of Israel, because Jacob had his name changed to Israel, right? And he went and moved into the land of his uncle, another uncle, Laban, and took two wives, Rachel and Leah, who were his daughters, and then their two servants, and gave birth to the 12 tribes of Israel, and got many flocks and sheep while living in there through seven periods of seven, which were 14, two sets of 7 years, and became very powerful. And Esau sought him out and met him in the wilderness. You follow that? And Jacob bore witness to Esau. So Jacob the younger had become greater and more powerful than the elder brother Esau, who sold his birthright for a little bowl of beans, or pottage as they called it. And now what has happened is Israel fell into oblivion and Esau married into the Edomite race. It says that he married a Hittite and he later became known as Edom on Mount Seir. The word Edom in Hebrew means to become red. So the Edomite race or the Oriental race came out of that brother, Esau, from mixing their blood, where Jacob's family broke the covenant and fell into subjection. They fell out of the grace of the Most High. You see that? Whereas the Oriental race came to power. Now the whole world is depending on the Oriental race for everything, from cars to cigarette lighters to televisions to everything. You follow what happened? That's what they meant in there. And that's a prophecy that has fulfilled itself today, that Japan and Korea are now more powerful than Israel. And all the Israelites, which are you. Now you, who are the younger Jacob, you're now serving them. You depend on them for everything. But there was a time when they served you, when Esau was depending on Jacob for support, when the Edomites depended on the Israelites to bail them out in the battle against the Amalekites.
Okay, awesome. Is it wrong for the 5% to say that they are God?
Yes, because they don't know why they're saying it. So, see, in this country, you can put a badge on in a blue suit. You follow that? And say you're a cop and then get arrested for impersonation.
Exactly.
Now, first of all, if they're speaking in numbers, they are not 5% of the population of the world. Because they say 5% of the population. If they do not make up 5% of the world, all right, that part of it can't be true. They're not poor righteous teachers who do not believe in the teaching of the 10%, because the teaching of the 10%, which they refer to as preachers and teachers, they teach from the Bible, correct?
Yeah.
And the 5%ers teach from the Bible. They say that he got his message on the Isles of Patmos, which comes out of the Bible. That's in the lesson. So they do believe in the teachers of the 10%. They say they don't believe in a spook God, correct?
They say.
However, Clarence 13X, who they call Allah, is not in a body anymore, walking around on 126 feet of Manhattan anymore. So now, what do they believe in? They got a picture of him, and if he's not in the flesh, any new 5% who never saw him in the flesh is believing in much as a spook as anybody else. Because he is a spook to anybody who has not seen him in the flesh. I don't care what they say. If they never saw him, like I said, the Nation of Islam, if you never saw Master Farad Muhammad yourself, then you believe in a spook God just like the Christians who say that they never saw Jesus. They have pictures of him, but they never saw him. But Jesus said, you can get to heaven without seeing me. Just believe on my name. But the Nation of Islam said everything is for real, and Master Farad Muhammad is for real, and God ain't no spook, etc., etc. I say, where's he at? They say, he left in 1933. Well, have you seen him? No. Oh, man, you believe in a spook just like anybody else. And if you walk up to a 5%, they say, well, where's your leader? Clarence 13X, his name is. Where's he at? He got shot. You mean he's dead? Well, he lives on. Oh, well, take me to him. I want to talk to him. You can't do that. Then you believe in a spook too then. You can't get away from that.
And you believe in the spook.
Whitey used to call me a spook all the time. What he was trying to say when he called me and you spooks is that we are people of soul, that we have soul. Why? Because in Genesis, God, as they call him, says, I grieve into man of my spirit, and man does what? What did he become? A living soul. That's what Genesis 1 says, right? I breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You see that? Yes, I am a spook.
So
I am a soul, but I believe in the supreme creator of the boundless universe who I find manifested through me and you as a breath of life.
I was flipping through the lessons a little while back, and I ran across some questions, and I was hoping it would be, you know, explained to me. Like, I was also listening to this tape. It's about who made the Holy Quran or Bible. How long ago, and will you tell us? Why does Islam renew its history 25,000 years? Now, you're saying that the scientists renew their history or Quran every 25,000 years. I was wondering if you could explain it to me.
Actually, what you did was you pulled out part of the answer. The question is, who wrote the Holy Quran or Bible and tell us when it expires? Holy Quran was by the original man of Allah, supreme being the black man of Asia. Holy Quran expires every 25,000 years, 9,080 days to this date, written the Nation of Islam, does everything all wise, right, and exact. Then it goes on to compare 24,896,000 miles to the circumference of the planet Earth, and says it would give one land, which is 1 mile per year. You understand what I'm saying? So what they were trying to say, that every time that the Holy Quran covers the whole world, cycles the whole planet, then it's time for its renewal. All right? When Islam left the East and circled the whole world, the last place it arrived was here in the West, North America. You see, that's why the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told them to look for somebody bearing a book with the lamb on it. A man is going to come and give him a better explanation of the Holy Quran. Because at the point of our coming into existence, that is the time for the Quran and the history of Islam to renew itself. The word renew is to reform, or to be a reformer, or a mujaddid. He was telling them the next time the Holy Quran is reformed, look for a man and you see him, and he'll be bearing the book, the Lamb. And he'll be the first black man to translate the Holy Quran and make it understandable to you. And that's our job. We gave birth. The Holy Quran has cycled the whole world, and the last place it came was to America, to you. You see? And I'm that reformer sent with that ability, with the Book of Lamb, to translate the Quran and give you a renewed understanding of Islam, takes you back through the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and back before that, all the way back to Adam and to the end of the world. And that's what Honorable Elijah Muhammad told people to look for.
The person would have that ability that would be able to cycle a whole world. And then 24,896,000 miles, that Quran traveled to India, it traveled to China, it went to Alaska, it's in Russia. The last place people got the Holy Quran was here in the wilderness of North America. And he didn't try to teach the Quran because he knew he couldn't. He told you someone after him was going to come with that. You see, there's a difference between teaching the Quran and teaching the Quran. When you teach it in all English, it's Quran. When you teach it from the Arabic, it's Quran. And all these teachers in the world, here in the Western world, are not teaching y'all the Holy Quran. They're teaching y'all the book, the Quran. Okay? That's what he meant by the 25,000 years. Holy Quran says, who wrote the Holy Quran, the Bible? And he referred to it as a Bible, meaning a little book, a scripture, biblical. Who wrote the Holy Quran, the Bible, and tell us when it is expired, meaning the nation of Islam. The Holy Quran expires every 25,000 years, 9,080 days from this date written, the nation of Islam. When that happens, the nation of Islam then will be doing things all wise, right, and exact. Because during the period of time of the honorable Elijah Muhammad, they wasn't doing everything all wise, right, and exact. Because they wasn't dressing the way he put them on the front of the newspaper. I think the brother should have the newspapers there now. And he'll show you the symbol of them. They wasn't dressing the way, but he showed you this man, and he said, there's a picture of one of them, and he shows a picture of a man standing on a jalabiyah, and says, all eyes shall behold him. All right? But that quote that he refers to, and he says, all eyes shall behold him, is in the Bible, and the next step is the Son of Man. The one who comes out of the east to the west. You see how he got him dressed there? He has him dressed like that brother standing up in front of you is dressing. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, throughout his papers, was telling people to get ready. He showed them a link on the front of the cover where they show us shaking hands with them. They're showing you the link between him coming from them over to us. He has another article in the paper where they show you actually his followers leaving him and walking over a bridge where they're meeting people in white turbans. There's a little small picture, another paper you have over there. So all of this was Honorable Elijah Muhammad telling those people where to go and who to go to and what to look for and what knowledge, wisdom, and understanding he would have. Because they were not doing things all wise, right, and exact. Because Honorable Elijah Muhammad made the statement, can a Muslim be fooled? What's the answer?
No.
No, not nowadays. He left part of it out again. You got to stop doing that. So no, not nowadays. But what happened is when Warren D came to the throne, didn't he fool everybody? Huh?
He let the devil
in the nation of Islam, didn't he?
True.
And that's not the teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, because what did the Honorable Elijah Muhammad say about the reformation of the devil? Can the devil be reformed?
No.
No, they tried, and they found out it could not be done. You understand what I'm trying to say? So they were not all wise, right, and exact. However, when you walk up on an Ansar who is following these books to the letter, who are following the doctrine that's being passed to them, you can't find fault in the doctrine. Out of the two-edged tongue that comes out of his mouth, you can't stop him. Everybody that comes against an Ansar, whether he's a beginner like you are or been here years, you got so many answers, and you can always rest assured, you say, if I don't have the answer, I'll be back with it because I know who got it. There's a guy who got a book with a lamb on it, and he got all the light that we need in that book. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
That's what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was talking about for the 25,000 years and the renewal of the Holy Quran. The renewal of the Holy Quran meant the real proper translation, a revised, a renew. The word renew in Arabic is mujadda, the reformer. Okay?
So, are all white people the devil?
All that are born and those not yet born are the devil. Always will be, always was, and you cannot reform a devil.
You're absolutely right. So, therefore...
I'm with you. Go ahead.
Is it wrong, okay, being that we are... So, is the devil... children of God also.
Now, when you get down to the essence of it, the angels were created by Allah also. You understand that?
Angels were created by Allah.
And the original angels are supernatural beings, as they have it, for lack of a better word in English. All right? Malaika.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They are all from Allah. And don't forget that angel that you call Lucifer and the devil at one time was in heaven. Right? And was one of the highest of all the angels. Did you know that?
Yes, I knew that.
All right, so now, this guy we're calling the devil, the reason why he's so smart and so tricky and so sticky and so slimy, like the scripture tells him, because he came down to earth with the knowledge he had in heaven. You understand that? And that's why the white man is so tricky. So when you look at it and say, is the devil a child of God? You say, in his original form he was. But now that he has transformed himself into the serpent and a beast with a curse, he can't be cursed and be of God. You follow?
Perfectly well. So let me ask you this. Can you call yourself righteous and hate the devil? But
no, you can't.
No, you can't.
No, you can't. I fool you, huh? I don't hate the devil. I don't hate the devil no more than I don't hate a lion. But I'm not going to get inside a lion's cage. I don't hate him, but you don't see me climbing inside there and shaking his hand and becoming a sandwich. And I know the devil is like a lion, a roaring lion.
Perfectly well.
Huh?
I said, you're absolutely right. I couldn't agree with you more.
I don't hate him. I just avoid him. I don't need him. If we get together, all you people here, if we start working together, we can do it. But our problem is the white man taught y'all how to be individuals. I go for mine. We got Ivis. I got mine. You got yours. I got mine. You go to a party with your best friend, and you're trying to outdress your best friend. You check it out. You call on the phone and say, well, what you going to have on tonight? He says, oh, I got this new outfit. You go, oh, God. You got something new. But she said, well, you know them green shoes? You say, yeah, and you check that off. You know that green dress? She goes, yeah, I remember that one. You know what I mean? So she ain't going to look. I got, okay, good. Now, I'm going to put on my new dress. I come out here and look better than her. That's how we are. Is that not true? Our own friends we try to outdress. Try to outdance each other. Try to get a better record player. Try to get a better looking car. Always talking about, I got this, I got that. Instead of us coming together and y'all say, listen, let's pool our money together and buy a couple of outfits, be basically the same size, and we can interchange clothes. You know what I'm saying? Or we can, you use my car and I use your car. Let's chip in and just get a better car and we both can share it. Black people, we've got to learn to do that. We've got to come together, pool our efforts, our strength, our finance, and build our own nation. The Chinese did it. It's called Chinatown. The Italians did it. It's called Little Italy. The Jews do it, it's called Jewtown. Where's yours? Harlem? No, it ain't. Because they just came back into Harlem and took all the buildings. They're buying them right from under you. They're remodeling them. That's how we are. Is that not true? Our own friends we try to outdress. Try to outdance each other. Try to get a better record player. Try to get a better looking car. Always talking about, I got this, I got that. Instead of us coming together and y'all say, listen, let's pool our money together and buy a couple of outfits. We're basically the same size, and we can interchange clothes. You know what I'm saying? Or we can, you use my car, and I use your car. Let's chip in and just get a better car, and we both can share it. Black people, we've got to learn to do that. We've got to come together, pool our efforts, our strength, our finance, and build our own nation. The Chinese did it. It's called Chinatown. The Italians did it. It's called Little Italy. The Jews do it, it's called Jewtown. Where's yours? Harlem? No, it ain't. Because they just came back into Harlem and took all the buildings. They're buying them right from under you. They remodeled in the Bronx, then they're going to put you out. They tore down Broadway, they're rebuilding Broadway, and they're not renting it back to the Negroes or the Puerto Ricans. It's for the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, what does it say?
No man can serve two masters, for either will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve Allah and mammon.
And then it goes on. See, most people stop right there, and they'll never know what that quote is talking about. It's talking about working, having a job, trying to set up a career, trying to pay them back bills, and you said that as an excuse. The Bible goes right on to tell you what it's talking about. What does it say? Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. That's what Jesus said. Don't take no thought about your life. What did he say after that? What, G?
What you shall eat or
that's
what you shall
asking,
drink.
What do y'all eat? We eat food. The Lord tells us, don't be talking about what you're going to eat. What else he says? Or?
Or what you're going to drink.
Don't worry about what you're going to drink or? Nor what?
Nor
yet
for your body.
Go ahead.
What you shall put on.
Now, where do y'all get your clothes from? It's obvious we wear a lot of, I got more material on than you got on. I walk around with maybe 10 yards of white fabric on every day. I mean, you understand? Go ahead.
Life more than meat and the body than raiment.
Behold.
Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap.
No fowls. You don't see no birds out there pushing no plow, digging up no soil and planting no seed, but they do reap. They eat, because who take, oh, go ahead, let's see what the Bible says.
Nor gather into bonds, yet the Heavenly Father feedeth them.
Are who takes care of them?
The Heavenly Father.
Where is your faith? You don't believe. You're like, I don't know how they live, man. I'm not going in. One of my friends said, y'all might just collapse.
Well, if we collapse, Jack, we're going to collapse together. But at least we tried. We tried to change the path that the white man has planned for our people, which is nothing but self-destruction. At least we're trying. At least for one thing, my children is not going to be exposed to crack. At least we got the step one down. We're on our way to setting up. We speak our own language. We have our own culture. We have our own flag. At least we got some type of identity, and it's yours. Don't wait till we finish it and then say, I'm going to join when it's all done. I got two more buildings to paint. When they finish painting them two, I'm coming. Ain't nobody in the whole world like me and you. No people on the whole planet has went through what you went through. And nobody can survive the way you do and still be sitting up there laughing at ourselves. Nobody could do it. Be proud of yourselves because you're a strong nation of people, but you are a stubborn nation of people. You are a hard-headed nation of people. But we are a great people. And the only thing that's holding us back right now is ourselves. Because the man is so caught up in his own problems. He got so many world problems. We got time to get it together. Because he doesn't have his attention on me and you right now. So we better get ours. We ain't got that much time before he turns his attention back on us. We better get together and we better start doing something now so that we're strong enough that he doesn't bother us. Black people, you got a chance to make it. They get y'all locked up inside them projects and close those doors. Ain't no fire escape. Either you niggas gonna have to fly or y'all gonna be inside concentration camps. And you sisters are working at telephone company now where they don't have no windows. They trying to tell you something. They built all these buildings throughout the ghetto and call them revised telephone company buildings with no windows. Those are concentration camps for you. And don't think they don't do it because they did it to the Japanese. You understand what I'm trying to say? That may sound funny, but we are a great people. We have a great opportunity right now to do something. Don't blow it. And we're going to spread this good news throughout the world. Translating the books now into Spanish and into French and into Arabic. We're going to spread it out because ain't nobody can beat the words of our doctrine. So all the Sunni Muslims and anybody that talks about us says, I don't like him because he's Dr. York. You know, he's a singer. Well, I don't like, they got all it, but they don't never, what about the book? I don't, well, they keep jumping off the book. So what about what he says in that book? Yeah, but, you know, you heard he's a singer, right? Well, I didn't ask you about that. What about the book he wrote? They can't even deal with the doctrine. All they can deal with is the person. And the person ain't worth concentrating on. It's the book, the doctrine that the man is putting out. Don't worry about Dr. York or Imam Isa. They're just people. You better worry about the truth that the man is putting out. You understand what I'm saying? Don't waste the time, because we're going to move on without you anyway, I'm telling you. Whether you're here or not, we're still moving, because some of y'all have been coming for years, and you're still getting bigger and bigger, and you sit home and say, you know what? You say to your wife, you know, I'm really thinking about becoming a part of the community. I really see what they're doing. I don't agree with everything, but I can relate. I see what they're trying to do. And then you've been saying that for 5 years. What you waiting for? Go on. Read this section, because it talks more about you.
And the body, and the
body. Still in Matthew chapter 6, right?
Right.
Go ahead.
The latter part of 25, verse. And the bodies in raiment. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet their heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature?
With all that y'all think about yourself, what can you add to yourself anyway? Can you change time or destiny? Can you make yourself an inch taller or shorter? Go ahead.
And why take ye thought for
raiment?
For raiment.
Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. They're provided by the Heavenly Father. Go ahead.
And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these.
Solomon was considered one of the richest men in the world, second to Ramses II of Egypt. One of the richest men in all the world, and all that he had, he didn't look as good as one bushel of flowers. That's what he's saying. One bushel of flowers that the Almighty created. Go ahead.
Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith?
See what he said about you? At the end of the day, he said he clothed all the flowers. and he clothed them and let them come in and go out in the winter and reclothe them each year. Isn't he going to take care of you? Aren't you more important to them? What did he call you? What did Jesus call you?
Oh, ye of little faith.
Oh, ye of little faith. Don't you have any faith in your heavenly Father? Go on.
Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat?
Or
what shall we drink?
Or
wherewith shall we be clothed?
For
after all these things do the Gentiles seek.
That's right. Keep going.
For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye shall need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of Allah and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof.
Now you see how he dealt with you? And what did he compare you to? He compared you to a Gentile, right? And if you go to the book of Revelation, where they're telling us about preparing ourselves for the kingdom of heaven, which he said right there is for you in Matthew 6. In Revelation chapter 11, he starts to tell you about the temple and those that worship or prostrate therein. Because they use the word prostrate in the Hebrew and Arabic. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod. And the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God, which is Allah, and the altar of them that worship therein. But, now that's those inside this tabernacle of the Most High. Now let me talk to y'all who are outside the tabernacle, but still say you're with us. What does it say? But, somebody read it.
But the court which is without the temple, leave it out and measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months.
You see how he did that? He said, those who are out are still giving themselves unto the Gentiles. That's the Bible. The Quran will back it up in the second chapter when it says there are some of those who say we have faith in Allah on the last day, but they're not in with the faithful. Be mu'mineen. They're not in with them. They say I do. They say I'm with y'all. They say I believe everything y'all believe. I read the books. I follow. I know one from Abraham. I know who the Amorite is. I know who the devil is. But they don't come in. They stay outside and say it.
خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم صدق الله العظيم.
Those are verses 1 through 5 of Suratul Alaq from the Holy Quran chapter 77. Now the 96, originally the first chapter, revealed to the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Translation by As-Sayyid Imam Isa al-Hadi al-Mahdi. And it reads as follows. Begin all things with the illustrious names of Allah, the yield of the most merciful. O seal of the prophets of Allah, Muhammad, by the supreme sovereignty of your sustainer, creator, you are being ordered to read by beginning with the name of your illustrious sustainer who created all things. He, Allah, created all human beings of a separating cell. So read because your sustainer, Allah, is most generous. He uses the quill to teach. He, Allah, taught human beings what they would have never known. You have been listening to The True Light with As-Sayyid al-Imam Isa al-Hadi al-Mahdi. Nubian Islamic Hebrew Mission would like you to write or send questions to True Light, 719 Bushwick Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11221.
I think that we turn to Genesis.